He's French Canadian. So we gotta have a cuss dump building. And that means we really shouldn't put him on until 20 seconds after the music's out.
And that means it's time for Trigger Warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trashville and Nada Vista, blah, blah. Cow. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with regenerative radio waves put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain with tasty and toasty.
I'm telling them to.
365 degrees Fahrenheit.
Meow.
Hey, is this getting all the statism out? Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Michael?
God, I feel it. Oh, man.
Cal, can you feel it?
Yeah.
Cal?
Yeah.
He's feeling it a little bit. Freedom Fiends is covered by FDEPCOT. No government license. This allows reuse by anyone.
He's a Republican.
Except government.
I think he's a Republican. So, since this is a teaching hospital, this is Michael W. Dean. We got Daryl Becker and Cal Molinay. Not Molyneux. Molinay. I got it. I've been practicing it. Molinay.
And Fence, right? This is the Fence show?
The Fence show? What?
Or
what are you talking about?
Fiends.
Fiends? You'll know what show
Freedom Fence.
Cal's just on here. The Freedom Fence? Is that what we're going to be called after we drive away all the open border people? And it's just you three, us three, doing the show?
That's basically how we're always sitting on the fence, Michael, about various topics.
The Freedom Fence. Man, I think that's going to be the title of this show.
On the other hand, abortion for everyone.
Let me play devil's advocate here. Let me step on the other side of the fence. What'd you say? What?
I didn't know if I can say abortion on the show.
Oh, man. We just lost 8 stations.
Probably. Saying the word. I wasn't saying I wanted that. I just said the word. You know.
You ever seen the Simpsons with Kodos and Kang running for office?
I love that. It so adequately describes the political process. Have you seen that one, Cal?
No, I just started watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and they have a political one there, too.
Can you summarize it in about 20 words or 30?
Yeah, I know. There's a scene where this girl's talking about how, you know, property taxes is a scam, you know, paying for something that you already own. And that's what they say right on the show. I thought it was hilarious.
Interesting. Yep. They were probably trying to spice up the show and get some new listeners in and send someone to go look on Facebook, and they found Cal. And punk rock libertarians.
There we go.
Yep.
Are you the admin on that?
I'm one of them.
I knew it.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I can tell. Sometimes the AMAs are, a little out there. I was like, that's not a punk rock thing. That's an anarchist thing.
Punk rock libertarians? It's, it's weird because some of the, there's about 8 admins. One of them is John Vibes. One of them is me. One of them is, there's a bunch of them. So basically, you get a wide range on there. Like, I've actually had people write the page, you know, send an instant message to the page and say, so is this page one guy? Is it a bunch of admins, or is it like one guy with split personalities? Because it's like, you know, I'm kind of a anarcho capitalist. John Vibes is, I don't know, anarcho-syndicalist or something. I don't know what he is. He's not that, but he's a left libertarian anarchist. And Matt Bergman is a Libertarian Party guy. And I don't know. Then I think there's a guy who's like a really small minarchist, libertarian, but not quite an anarchist. So, you know, you get like Gary Johnson is nifty memes, and then you get like voting is like crap. You know, the best thing to do about voting is to take a poo on the floor of the voting booth. So, which I agree with.
Yeah. So you have like these nerdy autistic powers combined. That's what forms.
Yeah. Somebody said something like, it was something like, is this one autistic guy, or is it a bunch of board ops? And I said, it's a bunch of autistic board ops. And then I posted that. I took a screenshot, scratched out his name, and posted that on the page. And it got, 300 shares and 1,000 likes. It was pretty funny. I like it.
That's a good page.
And by the way, we're very pro-board op just over here at Freedom Fiends. Just saying.
Yeah, he didn't say abortion. He said board op. for those people in the cheap seats, for those people over 70, or those people like me who have hearing problems who are not over 70, because they had it, because they put in their time and they did their service, and they were injured in the line of duty playing in a punk rock band back in the day.
Wait, how do you get the cred to be
in the van?
In the van?
I'm just kidding.
Get in the van. What, Daryl?
How do you get cred to be, punk rock enough for punk rock libertarians? What does it take?
Well, I have the most punk rock cred of any of them, because most of them were kids when I was making punk rock records. I have the most punk rock cred of all of them combined, because I recorded a song with Ian MacKaye, and I recorded three records at Inner Ear Studio, where all the Discord stuff was recorded. Two of them with Don Zientara Engineering, back when he was the man. And let's see, did records there by bands that put out one or two records, never toured, and then broke up because somebody had to go to college. Instead of replacing the guy, the punk rock thing back then was, when one guy goes to college, you break up, you start a new band, and you write a whole new set and make a record for that band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. Wow. So I'm more punk rock than all of them. Yeah,
real punk rock.
We're talking 1983, 1982 here. So
we were wee ones back then, huh, Cal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say
Cal,
that.
Well, that's not what Cal said when I asked how old he was. What did you say when I asked how old you were, Cal?
I asked if I was being detained.
That's right. And I asked you what you do for a living, and you said the same thing. And then I think I asked you something else, like, do you ride a car or drive a bike? And
I said, hey, those roads are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. All right, that's like 80,000 fiend points off right there. I'm going to have Cal just turn off his mic and listen for the rest of this segment. He's got a timeout. So that's fair, right? Cal, you can say if that's fair or not. Okay, there, turn off your mic for the rest of the segment. Cal said abortion, so we have to put him in there. I said it.
I said it first, and I want to own up to that.
Right.
But here, I've been sitting on this freedom fence for a while. And
fence. This is Michael Dean with the freedom fence. I'm liking that, man. So
you see the
here's
point
my
for
plan
that.
With here's my plan with Cal, if he makes it through tonight, which I don't know if he's gonna after that. But after saying the A word on the air. But he's gonna I'm gonna have him do a show with Lou either this week or next week without me and see how it goes. And I'm going to have him just talk economics with Lou and dazzle him. And Lou's going to be like, that guy's great, man. I like that guy. Because Cal's really likable. Yeah.
He's really good at economics, too. He knows his Hazlitt.
Yep. And then I'm going to come back the following week and do a show with Cal and Lou and me. And we're going to talk to Lou about his open borders.
Ah, sounds so relaxing. I could just bubble bath moment,
Lou's not
you guys.
Lou's not going to know that this is the plan, because Lou doesn't listen to shows with me on him. Does he? Does any fiend? Do you listen to fiends? You do, right?
I actually do, but it's been intense and busy in my life, so I don't listen to every bit of it.
That's why
excuses.
We have the Fiends Digest, which is at digest.freedomfence. No, I'm not going to say
freedomfence.com.
It's not that yet. It's Freedom Fiends. Okay, let's see. I'm registering. Hang on a sec. I'm registering Freedom Fence.
Uh-oh.
All right. Bing. I got it. Freedomfence.com. Freedom Fiends. Digest.freedomfiends.com is where you get the
condensed version of these awesome shows that are happening on the weekly.
Yeah. Yeah. So the shows, when we put them up, the 2-hour show is an hour and 20 minutes when we take out many ads and only put in a few of our ads that sound better. Oops. I mean, that are our ads. So we put them in. And that hour and 20 minute show becomes a 20 minute best of on the Fiends Digest. And you can listen to that at 1.25 speed or even 1.5 speed. It's still listenable on most players, and it becomes 16 minutes. And if you don't have 16 minutes 4 times a week to listen to the Freedom Fiends, you're a statist. That's what I think. Yep.
Not a true fiend.
Yeah. So
you know, I did pull up your notes, looking up, going from Rick and Morty through each of the things. So,
oh, you saying, guys, you two,
I'm ready.
Man, Cal's probably like, I don't know about this show, man. They had like 20 emails going back and forth for each show. But I'm like, yeah, there would have been like three if you guys had followed directions and been clear. And like you.
Me. I'm yeah, here you, to give Cal. Frustration to Michael and see
you are.
How
like,
can
you wrote
I
me,
add
you,
to blood pressure.
I answered. Cal asked me a question tonight about what time we get on, and I answered the question starting with, as I said to you yesterday, this is when we get on. And then he was like, oh, like I sent it and our swords crossed, and I got one from him that said, oh, I see that you said it yesterday. And I said, okay, you just got back one of the two fiends points you lost. And then you wrote me trying to be helpful, like you were going through your email, you didn't read them all, you saw the one from Cal probably, and thought, Michael, probably, I'm going to be helpful, I'm going to write Michael and CC Cal and ask this question again. And I wrote you and said, I just answered that. And then I read the email again, like you were quoting where I'd answered it. I said, like, I answered this literally in this email. So this is what I go through with these guys. And if people ever wonder, like, why I make a little bit of money on the fiends and these guys don't, it's because of this. As I said before the show, these guys are really good talkers, but all of them except me, maybe Jeremy and Lou would be fired from a real radio station, like from commercial radio.
It's true.
And people listening don't always notice that because I work hard to make it not apparent, but I'm not just complaining. This is a teaching hospital, so we point out our mistakes. So yeah.
Basically, what? For me to sound listenable, Michael puts this special synthesizer that makes me interesting, and that's what helps, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then I just yell at you during every break and all day and all night when we're not on the air to get you to do my bidding, which my bidding is basically doing good radio.
So we'll be back so when I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to initiate self-punishment protocol number 37.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Cal might be back. We're going to see how contrite he is over the break.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yep. Yeah.
Freedom Fiends returns.
Yeah. You know, that song we're listening to is my old band, Bomb. And I've got a new project, musical project. It's called Biptunia. Biptunia has a record out. You can buy it right now if you go to biptunia.com. That's Bravo India Papa Tango Uniform November India Alpha Biptunia.com. There's links to it there. It's right now you can buy it on CD Baby as a download. You can in a couple days you'll be able to buy it on iTunes and Amazon and everywhere else. And in about a week you'll be able to buy it as a CD if anyone still does that. I actually jumped through all the hoops to do that. Man, that's a lot of work. That's more work than putting out a digital version.
People use
CDs.
But
I care about each and every one of you. What?
People use CDs?
Yeah, people that drive trucks a lot of times still have CDs. You know, I mean, there's people that still have 8-track players. It's not that surprising. People have still. I mean, CDs are ancient technology. They came out in what, 95 or something, but they're actually still advantageous over digital stuff in some ways. Like, let's say you're driving in busy traffic. It's a lot easier to stick a CD in than monkey around with an iPod, iPad, iTunes, iDevice.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, or, you know, or a Zune, if you're a Microsoft. A Zune. Yes. Zunes.
Cal, I bet you had a Zune.
I did not, but I got my stuff on the Zune store, and I considered buying a Zune. But they were too expensive, man. I'll buy a gig one now for $5.
I don't even know
Cal,
what a Zune
is. Do you have
a
Zune?
Zune? Zune.
Zune. I see. You're
that is
too old.
That's the Microsoft attempt at an iPod. And, you know, there's some this statement of, oh, apples just work is like BS that was created as an advertising campaign 25 years ago. And people still echo it kind of the same way people still say, well, who would build the roads? Now that I'm talking about Apple computers here, Apple computers versus Windows. At this point, Windows computers, you get like four times the power for the same price. And there's a lot of other advantages, and they barely crashed. You know, they crashed about as much as Apple computers. So that's old. And the idea of like, well, Apples are for creative types, and Windows is for accountants. Yeah, that's like a 30-year-old idea. But there are a few things that Apple does a lot better than Microsoft, and one is making portable devices for playing music. I own an iPhone, an iPod, but I don't, you know, it works better than the Zune. Although, actually, I never tried a Zune. Maybe they just market better, because I actually heard from some people, like the three people that bought a Zune, the Zunes were great, but they were more expensive and clunkier to use, and like their equivalent of iTunes Store didn't work as well, so yeah.
If it can't like just be a computer in my phone and I can't watch Rick and Morty on it, I don't know why I wouldn't
hold it. Oh, Rick and Morty. That's going to be, we're going to segue. But so this band Bomb actually played a bunch in Richmond, Virginia, where Cal is. We're going to talk later, too, about who Cal is and what he does in Richmond with the, what's that thing? He's got this like cult, libertarian cult of young women. RV8, something like that. Is that
RV8? The cult is separate from the group.
Oh, okay. But there are the Venn diagram would have some overlap, maybe.
And I like to keep my personal life separate from business.
Yeah. Anyway. Sure. Okay. That's I don't know otherwise. I'm just teasing.
I think.
But yeah, Cal's a player like I was. Cal's like Cash Newman. Like he's still like Cash Newman.
Cal you make videos.
Cash Newman is, does he? Yeah. Cal makes videos.
Yeah.
Cal does outreach. I sit in a windowless bunker in Wyoming and yell at people and block people on the internet. Cal goes out in the street and meets them and presses the flesh and meets them and converts them to libertarianism and then presses the flesh more. Wait, can we say it on radio? So this band Bob, I remember one time we played in Richmond opening up for HR, which was the Bad Brain Singers side project. Actually, we were first on a three-band bill. And the second band was, I can't say this on radio. Let's say Kitty, the word that starts with P.
Yeah, lost. Oh, cool. Now I understand. I thought, well, this happens sometimes. Okay. Michael just got droned. Sorry, everyone. We'll have him back in a moment.
Bad Brains play at State Theater a couple years ago.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, we'll be back. We'll be covering up.
I got droned. I was just too real, man. I was too real, and the NSA droned me. I'll finish that story.
Worms. We'll be back.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
For my Patreon. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're sitting on the freedom fence.
We're the freedom fence. We're putting up a freedom fence between us and people we don't like.
And we've got punk rock cred.
We're not alt-right. Well, I don't want to speak for you guys, but do you guys agree with this statement? I am not alt-right. I welcome the gays, the blacks, and the Jews to stand side by side with me and help push communists out of helicopters. You guys agree with that?
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm kind of like, I don't want labels. You know, that's it. How about that?
But are you cool with people of all stripes helping you push communists out of elevators?
All stripes. Sure, why not? And including leopard stripes, why not?
Cal?
Yeah. Communists of all stripes, but, even if they are white, black, gay, or the same.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to push, like, theorist armchair communists out of helicopters. I think I would reserve that for those people would go into the libertarian re-education camp. Or we just play the Freedom Fiends on a 24/7 loop and maybe some Ben Stone and maybe, well, we just play my streaming network, cussfreeliberty.org, which is about 12 shows, including no communism, except when the Fiends are on and it's not me. Then there's a little bit of communism. But do you guys know about that? Cussfreeliberty.org?
No. That's right. You've mentioned it.
It's my alternative. It's a streaming network. I lose $220 a year running it. Well, actually, no. Because I lost $20 this year running it because I got a $200 donation for it from Attila Kaiser. Do you guys know that guy? He's a mensch, man. I love him.
No. Attila, you know, Kaiser.
Yeah,
no, I'm gonna look him up though.
You should look him up. ATT with two T's. Yeah, he's one of those anarcho primitivists. He's waiting for the world to collapse. And since he was waiting for the world to collapse, yeah, he's like Cal, but like three times as many girlfriends. Even, you know, he's got
yeah, right. He's
got like he's not nine instead of three.
He's an anarcho apocalypse. It's what
he's waiting. He wants the world to come to an end so he can run around playing war games with war paint on, you know, like in the episode of Rick and Morty I just watched where, you know, it's kind of like Thunderdome. But
yeah,
he was going to go live in the woods, and so he's given up his money. So he gave me a $200 donation for Cuss Free Liberty Radio, which is, here's the shows on it. And it updates every week. It's got some archival stuff and updating stuff. So the archival stuff is, and it's all cuss free, unlike Free Talk Live and basically or LRN, which is I like LRN. We're on LRN, but there's cussing on LRN. So basically, this is for people that don't want cussing and for people that, let's say, might run community / whatever radio stations, you know. And you would say, well, if I don't care about licensure, why do I care about cussing? Because cussing is how you get reported and that's how you get found. So there might be 8 or 10 people around the country broadcasting this. I don't know. They wouldn't tell me if they did, or they might, but I forgot. So the shows on it, the updating ones are Ron Paul's podcast, Free Talk Live Digest, Tom Wood's show, Mises Weekend with Jeff Deist, whatever, Jason Stapleton program, Neo Cash Radio, Who Will Build the Roads podcast, the Inner Tube shows, Freedom Fiends Digest, Anarcho Agenda, Contra Krugman, and the Free Coast podcast. Those are the ones that I update every week on it. Then it's also got archivals of Bad Quaker, Ben Stone's show, Mises Institute audio articles, including some read by our very own Diana Kyler. I own her. She's a fiend. Edited podcasts of Dangerous History podcast, because some of those have cussing, but it's so good. I went through like 10 of them and edited them. William Gregg, the Freedom Zealot, RIP. William Gregg, he's dead. He died a heart attack this past year. He has the world's best, shortest political quiz. Have you guys seen it?
No.
No.
Is it, it's are shorter you a slave than the or,
Can you read it to us?
No, it's better short? Than that. Yeah, it's shorter than the world's shortest political quiz from the Libertarian Party. It says, well, it's probably wordier, but it's one question. It's when you hear that the police harmed or killed someone, is your first thought the person probably deserved it, or is your first thought the police probably were out of line, you know? If you answer the first thing, you're a statist. If you answer the second thing, you're a libertarian. And, you know, I mean, the real answer is, well, all police are immoral and they probably murdered him. But, you know, that's included in the second answer. You don't want to scare people off with the questions. So I like it. And then Jeff Riggenbach's Liberty Tradition. So, yeah, it's a cuss-free podcast or a streaming network that I run as an alternative to LRN. Yeah. Yeah.
We know you listen to a lot of LRN.
Rachel's trying to listen to us, and then the stream keeps getting screwed up because of 2G interwebs. Well, then she needs the Freedom Fiends app which plays it better. Yeah. So that's Freedom Fiends. We used to have one called Libertarian Reeducation Camp. That was our iPhone one, but that's gone away because iPhones are beautiful. So beautiful, they charge you $400 a year to have an app, whereas Google Play Store charges you $25 for life to add unlimited apps. So there.
Wow.
They just want to keep out the riffraff that don't have money, like me.
Mm. Better so you finally binge watched all the Rick and Morty episodes?
I'm working on it. My wife and I have been watching them. We're up to season 3. There's only 3 seasons, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I went through all of them. Yep.
He makes a joke about there being 95 seasons at some point, or 9 seasons, and he said that'll take 90 years. Are they one every 10 years, or does it just take a long time for them to come out?
It takes a
sometimes
long time.
It does take a long time.
I like that, though. That's some nice foreshadowing. He's like, I will keep looking for this Szechuan sauce if I have to do 99 episodes, which will take 97 more years.
The third season wasn't ready, but they put one of the episodes from the third season out on April Fool's Day. So nobody knew whether this was serious or not, whether it was actually playing.
But it's out now. The third whole season is out.
Yeah, it's out now. Yeah, but during April Fool's.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
they were making fun of the fact that they're slow at getting it out. Well, I think they're all stoners. Probably that's probably why it takes so long. Or they're libertarians, which they obviously are. And I've got a beef with libertarians. They don't do what they say they're going to do. Always.
I heard one of the creators actually a social justice warrior, a feminist or something, which is kind of weird since it makes like. Fun.
Well, I mean, maybe they all are. I mean, Parks and Rec is written by social justice warriors, but the breakout character is a libertarian. And I think they started
talking about the same
Ron
guy.
Swanson. Ron Swanson.
Is the Ron same Swanson guy. A libertarian? I thought it was more like gun control.
What? You don't know who Ron Swanson is, man. Google it. Wait, what, Cal? I mean, Daryl, the other one? What?
I was just trying to say that as far as I know, the same guy, Dan Harmon, who does Rick and Morty, as far as being one of the two guys, is the guy who wrote
Parks
Community. Community.
Did he write Parks and Rec, though?
No, you're right. That was totally irrelevant. So just strike that from the record.
Yeah, Community's horrible. Nima Vadati tried to get me to watch that, but he turned me on to Parks and Rec and something else, so I gave him a shot, but, you know.
No, the actor who plays Ron Swanson is not a libertarian.
Oh, he's for gun control.
Yeah,
we're talking characters, not actors. Every actor is for gun control, except, you know.
For their security guards.
Yeah,
right.
They all have guns.
I was upset to hear Luke Skywalker is for gun control, you know. Lightsaber control.
Mark Hamill? Lightsaber control.
Well, the thing is, Rick, I don't know who else. Well, there's two main creators of Rick and Morty. Is the other one a social justice warrior?
I don't think so.
Justin Roiland? I don't know. He does. Definitely, there's at least one episode of him drinking pretty hard in one recording session that was pretty hard.
Well, then maybe that's why Rick drinks as much as he does. Justin.
It was an attempt.
One, Justin
Roiland.
So, yeah.
He does the voice of Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Which is your favorite episode so far?
Oh, it's hard to choose. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raising Gozorbert was my favorite. It's got bashes
like
feminism, right? And then you got a peaceful parenting thing in the end, right?
Wait. I'm not there yet. Spoiler alert. We didn't give out a spoiler alert.
That's first season.
Do that. Oh, okay. I didn't see the names. I didn't notice the names up until second season. But we should probably say spoiler alert if we're going to talk about this show. I can tell you my favorite scenario. I don't know, man. They're all so good. But one thing that really stood out to me that I decided, and I wrote you guys, we should talk about this on the show, is the state blocking software and hardware in Morty's car when Morty and Rick have to climb into the battery to fix it and leave Summer alone in the car. And she's like, I'm scared. And they're like, Morty says, car, protect Summer. And then all of a sudden
the car is safe.
Yeah, the car is like kills the first person who walks up to the car, and then she says, "Don't kill anyone." And the car, you know, realizes its prime directive has changed, which is actually, you know what? That's a takeoff on, right? That's T2, you know, where the Terminator's about. He kills one guy, and the little kid says, "Don't kill him." So he does something else horrible that doesn't kill him. Yeah,
I think he shoots him in the leg.
Yeah, that's it. So I want that state blocking software and hardware. Like basically if I could have, a bubble around my house that followed me and my loved ones, which is, the only people I care about in the world is basically me, my wife, and my cats. But, you guys, to the extent to which you can serve me and help with my ends, I care about you too. So I would send some bubbles to you guys. But there's a theory. I don't know if Cal knows about the Alpha Centauri aspect of the Freedom Fiends. Do you? Have you heard this one?
I play the Sid Meier game.
The what?
Sid Meier's. He had an Alpha Centauri civilization game that came out a long time ago.
Oh. Who's Sid Meier? I'm thinking of Sid and Marty Croft. Who's Sid Meier?
No, Sid Meier's created the Civilization games, Civilization 1 and 2.
Oh,
3, and 4.
Yeah. The Microsoft things?
Yeah.
Yeah, the world building? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to look into that. Yeah, so Alpha Centauri is the closest possible habitable region with planets that, are in the Goldilocks zone that Earth is, kind of thing, to a star. And they're 4.3 light years away. So basically it takes radio 4.3 years to reach there. And this year we just passed 4.3 years on radio. Hmm. We started the show in 2011. We got on the air in 2013. Yeah. So we've been on the air long enough that our first shows have reached Alpha Centauri. And our hope is that the intelligent light there will say, meow, oh, wow, we've been listening to this planet for 100 years, and this is the first intelligent life we've heard, the Freedom Fiends, and they're going to send me the state-blocking software and hardware that I can share with anyone I want, and I can become the libertarian king of the world. That's
the plan.
You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
That's gonna work.
That's loud.
Freedom Fiends are back.
Yeah, we're back. Freedom Fiends. So I never, you know what? Here's the thing about radio. Never start a story you don't finish. It's okay if you interrupt yourself and digress and go down conocentric parenthetical wormholes, hypertextual, whatever, tesseracts. Well, actually, in A Wrinkle to Time, what they call tesseracts are wormholes. Speaking of Rick and Morty, which we're going to talk more about Rick and Morty, but you never start a story you don't finish because it leaves people unsettled, even if you finish it an hour and a half later, or in this case, about 40 minutes later. So my band Bomb played in Richmond at this thing. We're the openers, really the headlining. I mean, Pussy Galore was the headlining band, even though HR or Acoustic or something, I didn't stay around. That's the night I met the girl Rachel that I ended up in a 10-year relationship and then wrote that song about, I don't want what you got anymore. And I know that she probably listens to this show, and I just want to say I'm sorry. Certainly don't want to get back together. I'm very married and happy, but I want to say I'm sorry. I treated you bad, and I don't know how else to tell you other than this. So, and that song, I Don't Want What You Want Got Anymore, has some mean words in it. I wrote them back then. I recently re-recorded it. It's not me being mean. I'm not still mad. It's just, they're great words, man. So, there is a house in New Orleans. It's burning nightly in my dreams. No, I do not hope your house burns down. All right, so this band, Pussy Galore, with the whole band chanting over a drum beat, your heart is red and bigger than mine. Your heart is red and bigger than mine. And then Pussy Galore came on and they said, your heart's red bigger than mine, but we're Pussy Galore. And then they played and people went outside to smoke. Yeah. And that was back when you could smoke in the club. That's how much better we were than them. All right.
That's so. Serious punk rock cred. Serious
yeah,
cred.
It is. When Pussy Galore is mad that you blew him off the stage, that's some serious. When people, nobody listening knows who they are, got mad at me. When I had a beef with someone before there was an internet, that's cool, man. Back in the day. Yeah, that was like the, you know, rap the rappers have diss tracks where they diss each other in songs. That was kind of like the live version of a diss track, I think.
You'd send right. someone a mixtape?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I used to make mixtapes for gals all the time. Yeah. Did you guys do that? Are you too young?
Oh, yeah. Cal, that's true.
Cal still does it.
YouTube playlist.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That makes more sense. Mr. Contemporary.
I wanted to release my album as one file, and I actually did to some friends of mine. But because remember, like, albums used to have a flow? Do you guys remember that before? Yeah. iTunes singles? Yeah.
Dark Side of the Moon? You know?
Yeah. That was
Talk
the second
flow.
One. That was the third. No, that wasn't even the second one. The first one, the second one was Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles. The first one was Freak Out or We're Only In for the Money by Frank Zappa, which all records I loved, all of those. But yeah, man, I mean, now records, these kids today, actually, like, piracy saved the music industry. Here's why. So when Napster happened, the first way you could easily share MP3 files, back in what, 95, something like that, 96 or 97, the music industry was dying. Like, people were stopping buying because records sucked, and basically records weren't very good. It was getting to the point where, like, you know, people would write one hit song and then make 9 songs for filler. And so iTunes evolved out of Napster. Is like, you know, the record company said, how are we going to do this? We're going to have to sell singles. So they finally did it, and it actually reinvigorated the music industry. But I kind of miss records, because I've been writing stuff where, like, you know, 9 out of 10 songs are great and one of them's good. And I worked to the point of, like, even working on the flow of, like, which song should go to the next song, what the order should be, how many milliseconds or seconds between each one, or whether it should flow right into the other one. Yeah. And
that's a lot of work, curating your music.
But I love it. I'm a curator, man. I even curate my Cuss Free Liberty. Like, I don't put on every episode of Tom Woods. Like, I didn't put on the one with Stefan Molyneux. Because I don't think he's good, man. I think he's... Anybody with French last name, you got to watch out for him, man.
When we come back, we're going to debate last names that are French and anything relevant to that. And then you understand.
French people are horrible. I'm French.
Yeah, so.
All right. I'm French.
Gonna
Canadian,
gain some.
That's worse.
I'm working.
No,
on
we're gonna talk about economics. I'm gonna shut up and let you guys talk about economics when we get back. I don't know anything about it, really. Except, you know, what a 5-year-old would know, which is, like, don't steal, earn your own money, and don't live beyond your means, which is more than most people know about economics.
And respect the poor.
Like a 9-year-old who runs an 11-8 stand knows more about most people in economics, and that's about what I know.
Worms.
Worms.
Meow.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, yeah. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Feast Plaza on the artificial satellite Libhar 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep.
Welcome,
so
guys.
I hope Cal is feeling smart. Oh, this is Michael Dean. Michael W. Dean from the band Biptunia at Biptunia.com. That's Bravo India Papa Tango Uniform November India Alpha.com. Alpha like me. Actually, I think this is all the alphas on the Fiends on one night. Jeremy's one of those deltas. You know what Jeremy is? It's like an alpha, but they just want to be left alone. It's kind of how you guys are. I'm an alpha. Delta's cooler than an alpha. Delta's an alpha without the type A personality and hypertension. So
I think Omega is one step beyond them. You know,
that'd be Attila Keltzer. Yeah, if you're an anarcho-primitivist plus, you're that. So I found a good Freedom Fence picture, since we're calling our show The Freedom Fence tonight. There's these pictures that went viral that were taken, I think they're government pictures, but I can use them because, you know, I pay for them. That, like, some nature preserve in Wyoming, there were two bobcats that were being pursued by two coyotes. And the bobcats kind of hid on a wooden fence, like kind of in plain sight. But, you know, a lot of animals see motion way better than they see, you know, colors or shapes or whatever. So, you know, basically they couldn't outrun them. So they just kind of like huddled up next to some fences between the fence posts where they could kind of be seen. But they just stayed still for a while. Like somebody took pictures of this and it's awesome. So... And the bobcats lived, so that was their freedom fence. And they're cats, and we like cats. Don't have cats, bobcats as pets. And if you do have wild cats as pets, make sure they are never more than about 4 hours away from eating, because you are made of food, and they're wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually, I hope Cal, I keep wanting to call him Kyle. I hope Cal is feeling smart, because what I'm going to do is talk for a little bit with you guys, and then I'm going to go watch Rick and Morty with my wife for about a half hour and let you guys talk so you get a word in edgewise. And you guys could talk about economics.
You ready for that, Cal? Off?
Lubba lubba deep deep.
What's that?
Whamma whamma ding dong. Catchphrase. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yes, right. A few different ones. Yeah, that's funny. So let's see what I want to talk about. Oh, I wanted to say, so I talked about fiend points earlier in the show. There is a point system, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's kind of serious. It's basically a cost-benefit analysis of whether, over time, a Freedom Fiend co-host makes my life easier or harder. And I've started assigning points. They're kind of a joke that there are actually points. Like, I don't have a ledger somewhere, but there are points. I just don't write them down. They're in my head. And Cal did something we can't talk about in the first segment. There are people who only carry this show on the second hour. So I do want to say that Cal did something that lost so many fiend points in the first hour that we can't even discuss it. It cannot be spoken of. We cannot speak the name of the thing he did. But I will say that thing has happened three times of you know, 1,200 shows. And one time it was the guy who ended up rewarding me with being one of the punk rock libertarian admins. And basically I have an audience of 100, it's up to 195,000 now people.
Ooh.
And the other person was Cal, and the third person who did it, actually the first person who did it, was Chris Cantwell when he was on this show one time when I had the night off and Derek J. Freeman was on. So you're in.
He was on the show?
No way.
Yes. Yeah. And actually the guy from Punk Rock Libertarians, Matt Bergman, is a great guy. But so, you know, you have put yourself at Chris Cantwell's level by doing that, Cal.
Ooh. Oh. There you go. That was painful.
Yeah.
So I go around yelling at some
psychological help.
Was that Daryl?
I was going to offer Kyle. Do you need some psychological help from having this land on you?
Bitcoin.
I'm going to let go of the aggression by yelling at meter maids.
There we go.
Aggression at who? You should have meter contrition, maids. Dude. Oh, do you have aggression over that? At yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Cal doesn't know that if we have 6 seconds of silence, alarms go off, which is a lot of talk radio stations have that. Like, literally, an alarm goes off that Jason, like, has to freak out and figure out if something's broken or not. Because talk radio hosts talk so much that if there's 6 seconds of silence, it generally means something's broken. And if you want to have, you can't have like a moment of silence on radio. And if you want to, you'd have to like have the board op turn that alarm off. Because basically, you know, if they're in the bathroom or something and that alarm goes off, it means probably that they're not on the air. So you got to be quick on the draw there with answering questions when we throw to you. And I'm not picking on you. I've done this to every host. I teach on the air. He's one of the directors of the Freedom Fiends. It's a teaching hospital. Yeah. It used to be a teaching hospice when I was really sick. And Chris Cantwell was on the Freedom Fiends one night because Derek J. Freeman lived in the same town with him and was buddies with him. And I was like dying. I'd just gotten out of the hospital. I was seriously dealing with a life-threatening illness that went on for 3 years, and I'm getting better from now, and I'm out of the woods. I'm not out of the woods, but I'm not down a well in the woods, deep in the woods anymore. And so Derek J. wrote me and said, my host canceled tonight on the Fiends. Chris Cantwell's here. And this was the night after he'd pulled a gun on somebody, supposedly in self-defense, and the police had pulled guns on him. And, like, you know, he made a YouTube video of it, and it got 500,000 views in a few days. I almost think that he planned the thing so he could make that video, but maybe not. And, you know, Derek was like, can I interview him on the Freedom Fiends? And I said, and the guy hated my guts. Like, he had wished me dead on his show a few days earlier. Said, like, that Michael Dean. Because I'd been calling him out forever. Way before he was a Nazi. Way before. For being a creep. And making fun of him. I mean, we had a show 4 years ago called Is Chris Cantwell a Cop? That was the name of the episode. And my host, Davi Barker, who's also not speaking to me anymore. See a pattern here, Kyle? Cal. Davi made an image for that kind of went viral, and everyone's seen it now. It's like the Simpsons-style picture of Chris Cantwell on Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons' body. So, because there was a striking resemblance. And
it's a great
name. I was dying. I was so sick. I'm not going to talk about how sick I was and what was going through my head that night. But then Derek wrote me and said, hey, can we... can I have Chris Cantwell on to talk about this thing that happened the other night? I said, well, I guess, man. I mean, I really don't want him on, but if you could get him to agree to not cuss and not say anything bad about me, not that Cal cussed, but it was something similar. You know, and Cantwell said, yeah, sure. And then broke his libertarian contract 30 seconds later when he got on the show and said, you know, F and F and F that Michael Dean, and he didn't say F. So he broke both parts of that contract 30 seconds into the show. So
that's a way to lose Fiend points.
Don't be like Chris Cantwell. Yeah, he lost more. You know, although the irony is, I'm kind of not happy he's in prison or in jail, and because I think he's railroaded and doesn't belong in jail. And I think that I'm such a good libertarian is what I'm saying. I'm like those Jews who defended the KKK. Remember that? Boy, I said Jews a little alt-righty there. Those Jews. No, remember there
does
were
that
like
gain Fiend points or lose Fiend points when you say Jews? Or does it help if I'm saying it because of my heritage? Or
well,
not really?
You deny that. I like that you don't let other people decide what you are. Just because your mother had a... Although alt-right people would say you are Jewish if your mother had a bat mitzvah, but we have a fiend who identifies as Jewish.
I don't identify as Jewish. No.
Cal's going to be like, say, see ya later. He's hanging up. He's going to start
swearing.
My mom
went through a bar mitzvah and so did, say, a whole bunch of her, you know, her siblings and her mom and dad, etc. You know,
so did that girl Rachel that I dated in Richmond many years ago.
Ooh.
Russian Polish Jew. And I had a thing for Russian Polish Jews back in the day. And, you know, I remember another Russian Polish Jewish friend of mine. I have friends who are Russian Polish Jews. Is the lady who's putting up the punk rock posters on a skateboard at the beginning of my movie DIY or Die: How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And that's the opening credits. We made the opening credits, somebody hanging up flyers because it fit the movie. And I toured Europe, I toured America and Europe with this movie. In Europe, mostly in black block squats and community centers. So, I met leftist libertarians before I ever met right. But they were nice to me, I got to say. So, this one guy was like, had a crush on the woman in my movie. He was like, oh, she is so beautiful. What is her ethnic derivation? And I see this guy in former East Germany. And I said, she's Russian, Polish, and Jewish. And he says, everything we destroyed in the war. Man, that's a joke Cantwell would probably laugh at these days. Anyway, so I digress. I wanted to talk. Yeah? Did you take a test?
Yeah, I did the 23andMe.
What percent?
I'm Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi?
Yeah, I'm master race.
You're Ashkenazi. Cool, man.
Master race. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love it.
Well, you're the same, from the same lineage as the 12 Jews that run the world.
Right.
Who actually like me.
I love
capital. They like me.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. You got a big nose?
I don't trust that lab.
You got a big handsome nose like me? You don't trust what? 23andMe?
I don't trust the lab that he sent his DNA.
What percent are you like, of Ashkenazi Jew?
Am I being detained? It's
0.03. 0.03%? Dude, I'm 4% African. I'm blacker than you are Jewish.
I don't believe that test.
Cantwell's part Jewish. He took that test too. And he dated a Puerto Rican girl, as they say in Long Island. Yeah.
That's
important. We're
going to
talk about economics when we get back. What, Daryl? Worms. Meow.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Sometimes during the break on Freedom Fiends, Voldemort, or he who should not be named, is discussed in depth. You know, it happens.
Disgusting?
It's disgusting
revolting.
In depth. Yep.
Yep.
There's so many ways to lose
ASCAP.
Fiend points.
You know what ASCAP is? Can you say that on the radio?
You can pass this one to Cal if you want, because I don't have the answer.
Do you know what ASCAP is? Keep it radio friendly. ASCAP. It's the Performing Rights Organization, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. There are two main composing societies in America. The other is BMI. Boy, they both sound like things you can't say on radio. That's BMI. I don't need to know that. Wait, what? So, ASCAP.
Body Movement Information.
Yeah, ASCAP are basically the mafia that gets musicians paid. And I am a member. They are, you know, people that are like, I don't like intellectual property would not like ASCAP and BMI. People who love intellectual property are members of ASCAP and BMI. And I was a member of ASCAP going back to 2003 or 2004, when I was finishing up the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And here's something most people don't know. If you make a documentary film and you can't pay the people in the movie that make the music, and you think the music has a chance of getting played on TV, tell the people who make the music to sign up for ASCAP or BMI and give them their number. You get assigned a number in ASCAP and BMI, because then you can send cue sheets into ASCAP and BMI. You do it on the internet now. When that stuff gets played on the rate on TV, they get money. That's how it works. Like, most people don't even know how to work.
And so you're helping them get money.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can't pay people for being in your movie who make the music, get their ASCAP or BMI info. And if they don't have it, tell them to join ASCAP or BMI. It costs $100 to join each. I joined back when it was free. They've added that recently because, you know, the music industry is falling apart. But, you can put cue sheets in. And, I mean, it's not a lot, you know, unless it's played a lot. But, you know, you get a few $100 here and there. So I was like, the other day, I was like, oh, am I still on ASCAP? I don't even know. And I was like, I wonder if I have money on there. See, here's the thing. Like, I don't believe in intellectual property, but if people who play the game are going to use my stuff, who regularly pay out, the money's either sitting there in ASCAP or it's in my pocket, you know. So I'd rather, it's kind of like how libertarians should make wills, because what, you want your money to go to the state? Nope. So I logged on there today and then I realized that, like, I have publishing money from the record I did on Warner Brothers that I didn't even know about. So I spent today trying to figure out how to put that on there. And it's a process, and it's not going to be millions, but it might be several hundred or a thousand or something. So, yes, I just wanted to say I am a libertarian who doesn't believe in intellectual property, who is cooperating with people who believe. Oh, I heard that. Someone
collaborator.
I'm collaborating with someone who, with an organization that's like the mafia, collecting money for people who love intellectual property.
What's wrong with monopolies? Why is economics important, and what's wrong with monopolies?
That's a good segue. Although, yeah, well, I talked as much as I needed to about Rick and Morty. You guys have comments other than it's a great show, and I finally watched it because Cal told me it was a great show. See, here's the thing. Like, five people have told me that it was a great show, but I'm too busy until, like, the sixth person tells me it's a great show, and that was Cal. So thank you, Cal.
Hey, man,
I think you'll make it as a fiend. I think you'll make it as a fiend, but you'll definitely get fiend points for that. And I kind of like Morty's attitude on blocking people. Like, people get on my case because I block a lot of people. This quote sums up what my blocking would extend to if I could do it. The killbots, stay in the driveway because the killbots are active and I took you off the whitelist. That's my attitude on blocking people I don't like.
I don't have anyone blocking my list.
Yeah, there's people that say that. Do you say that proudly, or is it just matter of fact?
Yeah, it's matter of fact.
Good, I thought so. People that say, I don't have anyone blocked proudly, kind of remind me of those idiots who say, I don't own a television. Like, no one owns a television anymore, but, you know, I watch TV shows.
I never eat at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, I love McDonald's. You know, this band, speaking of punk rock crowd, there's this band that used to be my next-door neighbors in San Francisco called MDC, which stood for Millions of Dead Cops. And they were, like adamant leftist anarchist vegans. And they got, like, they lost points in the community when they found out that, like, their drummer ate at McDonald's on tour. Like, that actually ruined their reputation. Freaking squares. Leftists.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends return. You there, Cal? We were planning to take over everyone's mind and cover various spoilers of the Rick and Morty show, this kind of amazing and very in-depth cartoon. Kyle, what was your experience? How did you find this show?
A friend of mine, Rachel Renner, introduced it to me. She introduced to me like all the best shows, like Trailer Park Boys, The Peep Show, and then Rick and Morty when it first came out a couple years ago. And so it was great when I thought I was like the only person that knew about it. But now, like this Halloween, there's like 20 other Rick and Morty's and horrible haircuts running around.
Right. So this is like the modern myths of the time. These are the things that connect people or having these same experiences, watching these same kind of things, and these very adult themed and very actually high level intellectual ideas, often even including economics and other scientific pursuits, are covered in Rick and Morty. So. Yeah, I'm not even sure.
How's that mean go? You have to have a very high IQ to understand Rick and Morty.
Well, I mean, there's many nuances to it. It's like a lot of things happening simultaneously. Like I just heard during the break, Michael was breaking down a certain scene, and then he was describing how. You were breaking down a scene. Sorry about that, Cal. You were breaking down a thing and describing how one aspect of the show, the Council of Ricks, is a nod to Marvel Comics and the Council of Reed Richards, you know, which is
right.
An event that happened for those folks who read a lot of comic books or a lot of Marvel comic books, whatever you want to call those people, boys, you know?
Yeah, that was second favorite episode. So all these other Ricks from different dimensions got together, hated government, but in the hatred for government and fear for their own safety, they inadvertently created their own government, the Council of Ricks, which our original Rick Sanchez detests and fights against all the time.
Yeah, so we definitely say spoilers before and spoilers during this whole episode, but basically, yeah, that's the gist of it. It's just kind of shoving into people's faces the modern message of the time. So, you know, what's the problem, do you think, with monopolies? Why would that be a problem to have a monopoly government, Cal?
Yeah, so there's a lot of people who think, like, without government, there'd be no monopolies. And someone will always talk about, you know, what if you buy up all the sand and all the oil? You can see you have, like, a large market share, right, of a product, but it's not guaranteed that you'll continue to have a large market share in that distribution or selling of that product. Kind of like Blockbuster had a large market share of video rentals until Netflix came up. But the thing is, like, market competition, you know, anyone can compete, which is awesome. Whereas government monopolies, no one can compete. It's illegal to compete. Like, in Hawaii, is liquor monopolized there by the state?
Not exactly, no. But certainly gambling is, because it is made illegal here. There's a lot of things that are monopolized. There hasn't been a concealed carry permit issued in a very long time to anyone that I know here. That's an example.
Right.
There's a lot of things that are restricted. So, I don't know. Wait, are you near the District of Criminals, Cal, over there?
Yeah, so Virginia... The liquor here is monopolized by the state of Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So it's illegal for anyone to create their own liquor store to compete. So, you know, that robs people of that entrepreneur spirit, right, to say, I could do it better or, cheaper or more efficient. So there's no market competition. And, of course, whenever there's no market competition, you know, you have quality going down, costs going up in terms of taxes. And that's pretty much, I would say, you can explain any government monopoly. USPS, especially, number one, right?
Yeah, so there's basically, when me and Cal are talking about monopolies, we're talking about essentially services that are provided where there's no choice, and it's provided by one provider, and then it's of, like, there's the story told that it's for the good of everyone, and that's basically it. But there are, of course, you know, certain companies that are just plain old large. So you mentioned Blockbuster, Cal. That whole thing, that's out of business for various good reasons. I remember that they actually, there's a, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk does a video, actually, where it's really awesome. I wish I had it queued up. But essentially, he goes over that Blockbuster video paid basically a bunch of people to do a bunch of studies to find out what did people like, you know, whether they should keep going with this video rental model. And what their studies found was that people love to actually go in and serendipitously bump into people that they don't, you know, they might know, and then to buy popcorn. And they like to hold the movie in their hand, the case in their hand. And they found out that actually, what Gary Vee says, no, what people want to do is be at home, not wearing any clothes, and pushing a button and watching whatever they want to watch, and not have to go out and do anything. Which is why, see, it all depends on who you pay to give whatever message. So just, I'm just saying, when you're a Freedom Fiends co-host, Kyle, seriously, keep that in mind. No, I'm just seriously. But,
I think the last
that was my Blackbusters little story for you.
I think the last Blockbuster store is in Alaska. They have a hilarious Twitter account. I was telling people, you know, send us a tweet if you're coming over, and you know, I'm right next door. I'll hop on over and unlock the store.
there really is a Blockbuster in Alaska right now. That's actually working.
Yeah, there's one last one. You know, last one standing.
All right, so. I mean, since I got you on the air and I can actually get a word in because, you know, Michael's not here right now. So right. I've been wanting to ask you, are there any like of the videos that you make, just by the way, like, in, you know, once again, for folks who just tuned in, Cal makes some pretty interesting videos of having open discussions. Cal, is any that stand out that you'd really want to remark on? Like, give me like a lowdown of one of them.
There's a lot of characters you run into. You know, I ran into like a Big Brother FDR fanatic. There's a good one of a Republican I ran into at I think it was like an anti-immigration march, pretty much anti-Trump march or protest. And it was cordial. It was good. We went through a lot of topics. But that's, I would say, kind of the same vein of a lot of the conversations I have. I think the most fun one was this two couple that just – you know, you talk about like all the what if questions about without government, and they've pretty much went away and just asked all of them. And I think I'm out there for like an hour, maybe, just going one by one, going through them all, from what about the roads to poor people, military, security, cannabis. I think that was the most fun I had, and just
nice.
Yeah.
Like a really nice couple, and they really like got the message, or did they end up like saying that it would be good for people to choose whatever they wanted, and that would balance things out, or were they still concerned that certain things require violence?
I don't know where they are today. I told them where they could find the video. It'd be great if I could catch up with them afterwards. But, you know, it became more of a moving the goalpost kind of a discussion. So, like, he answers, like, okay, got that. That makes sense. You know, and then, of course, you know, every other kind of emergency, you know, move that you can move, like going fishing and just trying to reel the conversation back in. I don't know. Maybe they got something out of that. But I usually do the video sometimes as a learning kind of a way for other people to learn, to know how to talk about these kind of issues.
I don't want to bury the lead, but you know, if we were suddenly plop, you and me, Cal, we're in an elevator, and I introduce you to this radio audience, you guys out there listening, and I wanted to say, Cal, take it away. What do you do? What kind of videos do you make?
I just say I spread anarchy. I'm the gadfly of Richmond, you can say. You know, pushing things around and kicking things up in the air and getting people to think more about objectively what it is that politics does to people and what government conflicts with their moral values to begin with. So I guess in the vein of Plato corrupting the youth and just questioning things, I do the same thing here in my city.
You ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About... Yeah. So like
give me a question. Can you throw me a question?
That
you would ask?
Well, okay. So the way I would, like, here's my elevator speech. I could probably do like in a minute. So people talk about, like, you know, what is government? And, you know, I tell them that, you know, government is objectively, like we were talking about earlier, right? A series of monopolies. Monopolies on things that you and I want. I want roads. I want alcohol, right? I want mail. But these are monopolies in which we're forced to fund through taxes. And we don't have the economic freedom, nor do we have the economic freedom to compete against these monopolies, all right? In order to say, I can provide you a better service, it's not going to be abusive or harmful to you, the consumer. And when you look at a government that way, it's just monopolies. So that's not to say, like, we hate roads, we don't want alcohol, we don't want mail. That's to say, we do want these things, but we want them in a way that we can compete and provide for, just like any other business or service. Like Netflix, again, a couple years ago, increasing their prices overnight, and people are like, well, you know, I have options. I could go somewhere else. I could go to Hulu, right? I could stream. There's other services. But when government does that, you can't go anywhere else. It's illegal. It's criminal to try to create a business to compete against their monopolies.
And nowadays, with the virtual world of things like torrenting, suddenly that keeps something like Netflix in check. You make Netflix or other streaming services too expensive if they all colluded and, what can I say, price gouged people's streaming data services. Well, then the torrenting thing would just go nuts. Right now, that's just a relief valve. Anyone who doesn't want to pay, they can just simply torrent. That's what it is. It's the digital faucet that everyone can suckle from. I think I can say that on the radio. Yes. Digital faucet that you can suckle from. I mean, data speaking wise, but right. So anyway, competitive business models definitely make the big deal. And so what me and Cal have been saying is that if people can stop and take a breath and pay attention to the situation of the economy, that means the household, the actual movements of value and units of agreement, I think we can see what's really going on. At least that's what I'm trying to say. What would your final message for the segment be?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just like state monopolies on these things. It's also like state granted monopolies. You know, this is like taxi drivers are upset with like Uber competing, right? But you see like the efficiency of Uber is.
Yeah, and we'll be back with the efficiency coming up really soon. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends returns. Final segment, redemption in the third act. Got myself, got Cal Molinet over there in the District of Criminals. Is that true?
About an hour south of
an the hour district south of that.
Yeah.
Yes. So we were just covering what exactly is going to be the redemption that we can focus upon. And I was just saying that in this day, there's been a lot of talk of various celebrities.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
This is the Michael. Freedom Fiends unplanned interrupt. What is it? What is his furries? I haven't done a furries in so long, man. What's the furries? Anybody remember? Furries? No? Got nothing here, huh?
All got right. Nothing. I remember the furries, but I can't quote them out to you. I know that it sounded awesome and hilarious and reprimanding at the same time. It's an unusual combination.
This is the Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or furries. Yeah. So 9/11 was an inside job. But who cares? Because global acts of terrorism happen every day, and I'm a pickle. Guess what I was watching while you were gone?
Pickle, Michael.
Watching Rick and or Morty. You guys don't remember that? That's not ringing a bell? That's a direct line.
When he that show is redemption. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It really is. And I actually have some other redemption, other than the fact that I'm going to start my own BIPCOT licensed, non-monopolistic, non-government gun version of ASCAP called BIPCRAP. And I'm taking ideas for what BIPCRAP can be. Here's how much of a monopoly or a duopoly ASCAP and BMI are. If you started your own performing rights organization, they would use any method they could, legal or maybe otherwise, or at least, or probably get the laws changed to shut you down. And there's actually a German equivalent of them that are very similar. That's actually worse, called CCAM or something like that. And when I toured showing my movie in Germany, I was playing guitar at some of the shows. Like, you know, I'd play a couple songs on guitar and then I'd talk and then I'd show the film and then I'd talk. It was kind of like the Freedom Fiends with a film in the middle of it. And at this one club, they were like, you can talk all you want, we can show your film, but you can't play the guitar. And I'm like, why not? And they're like, well, because this performing rights organization will charge us money if you do. And I'm like, I'm playing original songs that haven't been recorded and they're not registered anywhere. And they're like, they don't care. They come in, and if they have, you know, if they have any live music playing, they'll charge us a lot of money. And I said, do you ever have bands here? And he's like, yeah, we had one band. We had Fugazi. And I said, what'd they do? And he's like, we had 400 people there. That organization came, and Ian MacKay told him to get lost, that this has nothing to do with them. Like, yep. So, but they finally let me play. There were like six people there at that show. Like, there was something happening.
German ASCAP.
Power outage, something. Yeah. But it's going to be called BIP crap. It's going to be mine. So I got some good news. Or actually news you can use. And the reason I'm going to say this is I want to talk about the Obamacares. Do you guys have the Obamacares?
Oh, yeah. Big no. time.
Your answer is supposed to be, am I being detained, Daryl? But so, okay, good that you don't. So for those of you who find it advantageous to take advantage of that because you're fined if you don't do it and maybe you have a lot of medical bills like me, I did it because, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you something see, I mistook. I don't actually have coverage by Obamacare. I just meant
think Obama over cares. Here. What are you saying?
I was saying over here in Hawaii, does that exist? And it's like, yeah, that's happening over here.
Oh, do you have it? You, General, you and your tribe over there.
I took the wrong you, see?
No, okay. So I have the Obamacares, and some people say, you're a bad anarchist. Here's the thing. I pay into the system, so I'm going to get out what I can. Well, I'm not on welfare or anything, and I actually I would qualify for disability, but I don't get it because I don't want to get it because it's a hassle, and then they like can get into your bank account and do all sorts of stuff, and you have to pay it back if you ever make money. I mean, I do have a disabled parking pass. I need it. I can't walk more than like 50 feet without oxygen. But here's the thing. If you think the Obamacare's went up so much that you can't afford them this year, call the thing anyway. And find out, because they're actually, there's like, if you had it last year, you get a tax credit this year. And it was actually cheaper for me this year to get a gold plan than it was last year to get a bronze plan. Gold plan's much better coverage. So there's your minarchist hat solution tip for the night. I just saved our listeners countless thousands of dollars, and some may not die because they can now get the treatment.
That is redemption. I feel so saved.
Yeah, man. It's true.
I found liberty.
Through Obamacare.
Through Obamacare. I found liberty through Obamacare.
I mean, I think it's moral we have to have it, but as long as we have to have it, I'll take it.
I'm just on the freedom fence about that one.
I like that answer. This has been the Freedom Fence with the Freedom Fiends. Worms.